Yeah, that's a bit better. Yeah, that'd drive you mad, that, wouldn't it? Looking at that, wouldn't it? It would drive you mad. Good morning. I tell you what, it's been very cold these last two mornings. It's pretty cold out there today in old Salford. It's September, it's October even. Why do I do that? It's October 3rd. Not the 3rd. October 3rd, 2019, Thursday morning. And other than the cold, I'm in good form. I'm in fine fettle. Fine fettle. Where did that come from? Used to do a show many years ago where once every now and then we would have folks who work in academia and folks who work for dictionaries talking about the origins of words and sayings. Very interesting stuff where we get our phraseology from. How do these phrases enter the lexicon and all of that? Yeah, fine fettle. Quick roll call before we have a look at the front pages of the newspapers. And some good human interest stuff in the UK papers today. I won't spend a lot of time on Brexit, but you won't be surprised that the papers have a lot of coverage today of Boris Johnson's speech in Manchester yesterday. He's apparently going to address the House of Parliament, the House of Commons, today and talk more about these plans to replace the backstop and all of that. But I won't bore you with too much of that this morning. Hi to Kim Marie Herborg. How you doing, Kim Marie? Hi to MK in the Midlands. How you doing, M? To Martin Ellen, to Pierrot, to Matt in Massachusetts even. How you doing, Matt? Matt, you're working the night shift, aren't you, my friend? If you're taking a break, you're on the old night shift there. Hi to Philip, who has cannabis. Not much use to us, Philip. You can't share it with us. not over the interweb, anyway. To Dick Scratcher. Going to scroll down quickly now. To Wendy Orr. Marty Andytown. How you doing, Marty? How you doing, pal? To Schittler's List. Good morning. Yeah. Chris Barton. Dinky Cooper. Dinky Cooper, can't access this from my desktop or laptop. Well, you're here. How did you manage it? You know? Yeah, very mysterious. Hi to Acker Firmage. Richie, hiya. Sorry to learn of your Wikipedia problems, but you're in good company. Very briefly, I don't have Wikipedia problems. I've avoided having a Wikipedia page like the plague since forever. First of all, quite rightly, nobody should be able to upload a Wikipedia page about themselves because of the obvious bias. I mean, if I was to put my Wikipedia page online, Richie Allen is the greatest radio presenter that ever lived. He's devilishly handsome. He's amazing in the sack. And he's got a massive tallywhacker. That's what I would do. But that wouldn't be true, apart from the bit about the tallywhacker. So it's only right and proper that other people create Wikipedia pages. People who don't have any vested interest. So, I've never wanted one. Why? Well, for the reasons that we saw when somebody uploaded a Wikipedia page for me in the last couple of days. Some Zionist, I have a feeling I know who it is, uploaded a Wikipedia page for the Richie Allen Show. And it was laughably slanted and basically inferred that the Richie Allen Show exists pretty much only to talk about Holocaust denial and anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, which is not true. I mean, even, I suppose, my most ardent or strident critics, you know, people who just don't like shows like mine, and maybe even people who don't like me, and there are many of them, they couldn't say that in good conscience that the radio show just talks about or promotes Holocaust deniers. It's nonsense. It's fucking rubbish, right? So that's the reason why I've never been too enthusiastic about having a Wikipedia page. And because despite some of the things I say from time to time on the radio, I'm not that egotistical, really. I really am not. I've been around a long time doing radio. You know, successful radio and not so successful radio. I've seen it all, really. I don't sit around thinking about how important I am or how great I am, because I'm not. I'm just a big, ignorant, baldy bollocks. And that is true, with a big mouth, who can string a few sentences together sometimes, who likes to hear from people who are not often given the opportunity to speak. That's all it is. So I've never been too keen on Wikipedia pages. But one was uploaded and it was laughably defamatory, really. But I understand one or two people have been editing it. And I don't want people to go on there and edit it. People who like the Richie Allen radio show a lot. I don't want that. I would rather it was edited by somebody who could just be fucking honest. The show is controversial. It does give a platform to people who have been sometimes outlawed as people who shouldn't be heard anywhere. But it also talks about the esoteric. It talks about the spiritual. It talks about every subject you could possibly think of. That's what it does. And, yeah. But, no, I'm not remotely worried about it. I can see why the presumably Zionist person, whom I think it is, did it. Because the show is very popular. It is. I'm not bragging. Christ, it gets... Through podcast downloads alone, it gets nearly 500,000 a week. And that's just through iTunes and Podomatic and Spotify. That's outrageous. 500,000. Yes. A week. Right? Not to mention the hundreds of thousands who tune in live a week. So somebody wants, doesn't like that, and would prefer that if Joe Smith or Josephine Smith was to go looking for information about the Richie Allen show, because it is popular, that they would find stuff like, well, it's a big anti-Semitic Holocaust denial promotion radio show. That's the whole point of the exercise in uploading a Wikipedia page for the show and then alleging that it just promotes Holocaust denial, which it doesn't. But I see somebody has edited it, because I can't, to state quite fairly and objectively that when I've interviewed people in the past, and I've only had three on, I think, who've denied the Holocaust, that I have stated my own position quite clearly that I don't agree with them. Right? Okay. So yeah, the Wikipedia page. Mad times. Mad times! Anyway, just a couple of quick more hellos before we look at the papers. Sir Hubert, Nigel Perrott in Oz. How you doing, Nigel? Nothing Pretty, 71. How you doing? Rebecca McCoo. How you doing, Rebecca? Good morning to India Kane. Hello, India. Charlotte in Burnley. How you doing, Charlotte? Belated. Happy birthday, by the way. It was mentioned to me on social media that you didn't say happy birthday to Charlotte. Well, sure, how would I know? How would I know? I'm not Nostradamus. Hi to Grey Chip, who says, well, I don't care about you, but I'm having a bowl of porridge with some broken digestives and a yoghurt. It's the way forward. Hope you fucking choke on it. How you doing, Graham Booth? It is cold. It is cold. Andrew Lawther. Mr. Farkin Oaf. Come on, you big bald Irish. Love God. No Brexit. Love God, yeah. Happy Jesus. Lovely jubbly. I would. If I got to edit my Wikipedia page, it would be full of lies about my sexual prowess and conquests. Just put all sorts of lies up there. Richie spent 2 years in a love-in, in a peace protest with Lucy Liu and the singer Zaz from France. Look her up. Lovely. All sorts of lies would be on there. Yeah. Right. Okay. Let's have a look at the newspapers then. And the front pages. I am a bit cold, to be honest. I've got an energy drink there, by the way, as well. I've got an energy drink there. And this one does have aspartame in it. I love how judgmental people get. How people think that, you know, it's their right to just be judgmental about people. I had a Lucozade a few weeks ago. Oh, Lucozade, oh, how can he drink that? Oh, he must be a shill. Oh. No, I don't smoke cigarettes. But presumably if I smoked one or two cigarettes a week, it wouldn't be that bad. So if I have the occasional bit of aspartame once in a blue moon, it can't be that fucking bad, can it? It is very bad. Aspartame, it is bad. I understand that. I do agree with that, you know. But a little bit every now and then, you know. Keep it away from children, though. Aspartame. G.K. Searle, Rumsfeld, find out about it. Poison. But a little bit every now and then, you know. Right, so, be Jesus, huh? Huh? Financial Times, Johnson plan unites Brexiteers, but faces frosty reception in Brussels. Johnson, Boris Johnson, the government, yesterday published their plans for an alternative customs arrangement in Northern Ireland. But it hasn't gone down so well. I told you I wouldn't dwell on it. I talked about it in the monologue on the radio show last night. Okay? Okay. Financial Times. What's in the Telegraph? I bet you. Pressure on Dublin to back deal. Makes me laugh, this. Sky News, BBC will interview Leo Varadkar, the Merry Indian, and Simon Coveney, the Deputy Taoiseach. And it makes me laugh that the press insinuates that Simon Coveney and Leo Varadkar, that they've got any say whatsoever in what Ireland will do or what Ireland thinks about Boris Johnson's proposals. It is laughable. Made me laugh yesterday in the mid-afternoon, Leo Varadkar, he was outside. I don't know where he was outside because I've not been to Ireland for so long. 16 years now since I set foot on the Emerald Isle. I forget everything. I have no memory, no recollection of what Ireland is like whatsoever. None. So where he was yesterday, Varadkar, I have no idea. But he was standing outside somewhere and he was like, and this made me laugh now.
Yeah, well, I haven't had a look at the proposals, right, but I will, and later on, right, later on I'll give you me opinion, right?
As if that's true. The truth? I haven't yet been told what to fucking say by Brussels. When they do tell me what to say, I'll say it. Until then, I've got nothing to say. Pressure on Dublin to back the deal. Piss off. Dublin, huh? The Times. Brussels keeps Johnson guessing on Brexit deal. Yeah. There's Carrie Simmons, or Simons, Johnson's girlfriend. Aspartame. I don't drink coffee. Fuck off. Right. We're going to talk about MSPs today voting a bill in Scotland to ban smacking children. We'll talk about that in a minute. So I want your opinion on that. The Guardian, dismay in Brussels as Johnson finally reveals his Brexit plan. The Guardian is an unapologetic, unashamed supporter of the European Union. The Metro, dear Jean, here's how I leave you. The PM's breakup letter. We've got nice screenshots there of the actual letter. And that is Jean-Claude Ever the effing drunker. Hateful looking guy, isn't he? Awful, disgusting fucking human being. But anyway, we'll leave that alone. Brexit, is this the beginning of the end? Asks the Daily Express. The country cries, please, we're fucking sick of it. Either just end it, like admit that we're not going to leave, and we can go, let's get back to work. Either admit it, that it's never going to happen, or just leave. Either way, we're tired of it now. The sniffles. Yeah. Good morning to Sharon Gale, by the way. How you doing, Sharon? Yeah. The old Wikipedia page. Tory conference flops. Is that it? Depending on which newspaper you read today, Boris Johnson's speech was either very funny and very fresh, Daily Telegraph, Daily Mail, or it was a pile of shit, the Daily Mirror. I watched it yesterday. There were a couple of funny gags in there. I'm reliably informed that those gags are old gags, but they were newish to me. I found it mildly amusing, despite what I think of Johnson. No new policies in the speech, of course not. What do you expect? And the Mirror goes with this theme that EU ministers will not accept Johnson's proposals. Excuse me, of course they won't. Of course they won't. That's the Express. Right. What is the Daily Mail going with today? Well, it's going with a picture of Jennifer Arcuri. Is that her name? Arcuri or Arcuri. This is the woman that Johnson was rogering when he was Mayor of London. I say, I'll get abusive emails later on. And is alleged to have benefited financially from her relationship with him when he was the mayor. By the way, if that turns out to be true, right? Because how could I possibly know? I don't know. But if it turns out to be true, he's gone, Johnson. He's a goner. There's no recovery from that. Maybe in the United States, maybe you might get away with it. But here, no chance. He's a goner. If any of this turns out to be true. And to be fair, yesterday and this morning, he's looking increasingly a little bit more worried when he's asked questions. Not about the alleged thigh groping. Doesn't give a shit about that, understandably, 20 years ago. And whether it happened or not, I don't know. But this is far more serious. And if it can be proven, if there is even a shred of paperwork. But I'll come back to that in a minute. Because this is how the hidden hand works. If Johnson, when he was seeing this woman, as he was for a time, when he was the mayor, if there is a shred of evidence, as I said, that she benefited financially, he's a goner. But this is what we talk about a lot in the independent media. The very, very, very powerful who call the shots. And of course, Boris Johnson doesn't call the shots. Donald Trump doesn't call the shots. Neither did Obama. They are way down the trough. But right up at the top of the trough, up at the top of the pyramid, the people who do call the shots, they would have known about Johnson's inappropriate behaviour, allegedly. Impropriety, allegedly. And they store that shit for a time when it might become useful. They keep little tidbits locked away in drawers like that. That's how it works. And no matter which politician you like or which party, those at the very top of the parties, Corbyn, Swinson, all of them, they will have filing cabinets full of little skeletons, business dealings, people they did favours for. This is how they're controlled. And I would suggest this has been known about for a long time. I just kept neatly stored away in a little lockbox until such time as it might be necessary to use it. And here we go. Johnson is odious in the extreme, but he wouldn't... I mean, every single politician in the world has used their position, used their office to benefit those with whom they have personal relationships. It's not right. Right? It's beyond, you know, just simple... Oh, Christ. The power of speech just eludes me in the mornings. It's beyond cronyism. It's corrupt. But they keep this stuff handy until they need to use it, and they might need to use it now to get rid of Bojo. Not for a minute now, because Bojo is hell-bent on taking us out of the European Union. I don't believe that either. But anyway... The Sun, Rogue One, Prince's press rant, allegedly, Harry Hewitt there and his wife Meghan, he was warned about this attack on the press, he was warned not to embark on it, this tirade about how he sees similarities between how the press treated his mother and how the press is treating his wife. Apparently the palace advised him not to do it, but he went ahead and did it anyway. Yeah. And the Star, I nearly quit Corrie over my slaphead, says some actor called Jack, who lost his hair or was losing it and got very depressed. Nothing wrong with losing your hair. Look at me. You too could look like this. So that's on the front page of the Star. Human interest there. I suppose of interest to people who have lost or are losing their hair. Indeed. Few comments. Jennifer enjoyed listening to Jonathan Royal yesterday. How you doing, Jennifer? Thanks, Jonathan Royal. Is very interesting. I look forward to having him back again. Hi to John and Sarah. The irony is that the Wikipedia page might help to increase the show's audience. It might do. It might do. But the point of it is, for anybody curious, who is this Richie Allen guy? Because there are millions, nay, billions, who've never heard of the radio show, of course. And if somebody goes looking for it, well, they will find a page that talks a lot about anti-Semitism and Holocaust denial. That's the whole point. Like the Claire Buswell in Windy Limerick. How you doing, Claire? Yeah, you're getting the remnants of Lorenzo, is it? You're getting the tail end of Lorenzo on the west coast of Ireland. Jean Ann there in Cleggan, the west coast of Ireland. Lovely. Lucy Liu, I've always fancied Lucy Liu, yeah. I told you about boots, I gave it all away. I gave it all away, I told you about the boots. And Lucy played a dominatrix in a film called Payback with Mel Gibson. Oh, that's a horrible noise, isn't it, to make blokes? Oh, the blokes at the darts watching the walk-on girls. Oh, yeah, I saw Lucy Liu in Payback. Very good film. Film noir. Payback, Mel Gibson, yeah. And who was in Payback? Was Chris Christopherson in Payback? Was he the bad guy? They owed Mel Gibson money and he worked his way up through the crime syndicate, killing everybody until he got his money. Lucy Liu was in Lucy Liu. Lucy Liu. Edge TV. Hi, Edge TV. Hi, Kelly Reid. How you doing, Kelly? Looking good, Richie. Thank you, Kelly. Love it. Triggerwarning.tv, by the way. YouTube, triggerwarning.com. Jesus. YouTube.com/triggerwarning for Graham and Hayden. Always worth checking them out. They're talking about very interesting things on a daily basis. Hi to Kevin McCool, Diagwit, Rishtard Makara, Os Ohaclia. How you doing, Kevin? Kevin is in Dublin. Dias Miragwit, Kevin. John Grammaticus, hi. Jean Ann says Harry is a silly billy. He is, Jean Ann. Yeah, I wouldn't have put it as eloquently as you. Yeah. He's got hair plugs. He's got a hair transplant, has the Coronation Street actor. Good for him. Jean Ann's awaiting Storm Lorenzo, battening down the hatches. RTE is going bananas with the scaremongering. Lock up your turf, yeah. Maggie says, Richie, you're getting a bit carried away on Lucy Liu. No, look. Do I have to do it myself? Oh, go on, I'll do it myself. Hang on. Oh, be Jesus. Oh, yeah. Let's have a look. Have I got one? I might have, you know. It's going to be a very big picture, though. It's going to take up the whole bloody screen. I'm not very good at doing this sort of thing, you know. Have I got a picture of her? Get in. Here she is in Payback. Lucy. Now, I'm not saying that I fantasize about being the guy hung up by his ankles. I don't take it that far, you know. I like a woman to take control in that, but I don't like pain. But there's Lucy Liu in Payback. You can't see the lovely thigh-high boots that she's wearing there, unfortunately, but there she is anyway. So you get the picture, right? Dirty old, middle-aged old bastard. Yes, I am. I'm not as bad as this guy, though. Look at this guy. RT. Paedophiles are everywhere. Everywhere. This is an umpire. He's been fired by the WTA or the ATP because he was basically raging. I don't know how to describe what he was doing. But during the middle of a tennis match, he was sexually harassing a ball girl. And now, ball girls are normally somewhere between 13 and 16 years old. And this guy was officiating on a match in Italy.
and was basically getting fairly hot under the collar and was calling the girl fantastic and very sexy. Young girl, asking her, are you okay? It's hot. Are you feeling hot physically or emotionally? What the fuck, like? Right? And apparently, the ATP is aware of a number of incidents involving this guy. Wow. It's everywhere, isn't it? I bet you we don't even have a clue, really, as to how many men and women are out there amongst us who fantasise about children sexually. About children. I mean, the mind boggles. Do you remember a couple of years ago, one of the UK's police forces had to admit that because of the volume of people looking at indecent images of children online, namely that you can't prosecute them all because you just don't have the time or the resources, that they had to go around to people's houses, knock on the door, how you there? Are you Philip Smith? You are. Philip, we've caught you looking at pictures of naked children on the internet. Will you stop, will you? And that was it. That was the gist of it. Not, I'm arresting you, Philip, and I'm taking you down to the station for questioning, because, well, there are a lot of children around here, and you've been looking at children, sexual images of children online. So we need to find out more about, you know, they were just saying, would you mind stopping? I reckon we haven't a clue as to the scale of, and I'm not trying to be alarmist here or sensationalist, because I don't do that. You know I don't do that. I'm not going to go on a crusade here. But fucking hell, it's everywhere. You know. And yeah, I'll get an email later on going, Richie, don't worry about it. Still, somebody will tell me, still, Richie, the vast majority of men and women don't have sexual feelings for children. I want to believe that as well. You know? Yeah. Fucking umpire, in the middle of a match. In the middle of a match, his microphone is switched on. I mean, wow. Wow. But the flip side of all this is, well, forget about that, it's not the flip side. Another story about sex which is kind of worrying. And it is that we're not having sex. That we don't want to have sex. That we don't feel sexual. We don't feel turned on anymore. People don't, their libidos are not great anymore. It's got nothing to do with age. It's a general trend. And it's a worrying one. The Daily Mail is covering it today. Why are so many of us not having sex, even if we're in the same bed? Female survey reveals what's really going on in Britain's bedrooms. 1 in 4 women are celibate, it alleges. And I've had private conversations about this with friends and with other journalists, people who I've known for years. And the general consensus is, people don't feel like having sex as much as they used to feel like having sex with their partner, or even if they're single, with you know, with whomever. You have to wonder why, what's going on. And I think there's a number of reasons, I think. I think there's a number of reasons. My own opinion, I'll share them with you if you want, as we approach 10 o'clock. And some of the figures in the survey are fairly, well, they are kind of shocking, really. And it's not just about people being together for a number of years and things going stale and people, you know, a woman looking at her man thinking, well, you're not, you don't look the way you used to look when I met you, or a man looking at a woman thinking the same. It's far, it goes far deeper than that. There are a number of reasons for it, for the drop in libido. And without boring you to death, I think a couple of them. One, pornographic addiction is definitely one of them. And I know this because I've interviewed over the years some non-alarmist types, some very clinical types, people who have explained very succinctly the chemical reaction to in your brain to watching lots and lots and lots and lots of porn. And without giving you, because I, you know, I don't have the lingo, I don't have the exact terminology, but without giving you the what they said verbatim, ultimately they said that eventually, as you spend an inordinate amount of time watching pornography, what happens is you ultimately begin to lose interest. You
Christ. You see? You know what I'm getting at. You start to find it more difficult to be aroused about the things that aroused you because of your addiction to looking at it online. After a while, it doesn't stimulate you anymore. And this is because of a reaction in here, right? I know some of you know more about this than I do. And that's a problem. That's a huge fucking problem, that is. Particularly because younger lads, because of that, are looking at pornography all the time. Yes, I've watched pornography. Of course I fucking have. Do I spend a lot of time now looking at pornography? The truth, no, I don't. I certainly do not. What sort of sex life do I have? It's healthy. It is healthy. And we make time for it, Caroline and myself, because we would be worried about not making time for it, spending time together, intimately. It might be putting you off your porridge and your fucking cookies now, maybe. But I don't mean to do that. But we make time for that. But there are environmental factors. Porn addiction, I would say heavy metal exposure, right? Food. Alcohol, have no doubt about it, are having an enormous impact on us. And I believe that if you are living with somebody whom you love, if you are not spending time with one another intimately, which doesn't mean penetrative sex all the time, I believe it's detrimental to the relationship. And eventually the relationship gets into trouble. I really do believe that. So I'm not surprised by this information that we're just not having sex. There's an agenda, I believe. And I'll be interested in what you have to say about that. But yeah, the addiction to watching porn online has a profound physiological effect on our brains. And that which we should find stimulating, like a nice naked female body on its own, without a pair of fucking knee-high stiletto boots or a Superwoman or Wonder Woman costume, right? Or a nurse's outfit. Just the female form should be stimulating to a virile young man, right? But it isn't anymore. It isn't. Not for me. Thankfully, I can still see a picture of a nudie woman, an adult nudie woman, and go, yeah, lovely. But increasingly for people, they're not turned on by that. Why? There's always an agenda. It's not by accident. It's by design, I would say. Dr. Ruth, eat your fucking heart out. Dr. Richie is in the house. I'll tell you how to have sex. Get a shoehorn. I'm only joking. Right, let's move on. Can you believe that umpire? Can you believe that umpire? Christ almighty. Right, smacking then. This is in the Telegraph. England should follow Scotland and ban smacking. There is no justification for assaulting children. What do you think about this? I'm 44. Now, apart from... I don't want to get into it. My mother wasn't abusive to me, but I would have gotten a few hidings growing up. Presumably, most of us over 40, I'm in mid-40 territory now, we got a smack every now and then. Now, I had other issues with the man who raised me, as his son, my father. That was a different thing entirely, which I'm not going to get into now because I've gotten into it before, it's no big deal. But we got smacked. Was it assault? Was it criminal? Should it have been stopped? And if so, what were or are the implications for that? Well, in the Scottish Parliament today, they're going to basically pass this bill that will make it illegal to lay a hand on your child in Scotland. Now, I know that people who have children will tell me that I'm talking shit or chatting shit, and you are entitled to do so because I don't have a child. But I'm going to say it anyway. I can say with 100% certainty, with 1,000%, with every fibre of my being, if we are ever blessed with a child, nothing could make me lay a hand on that child. Not a smack on the arse, on the nappy, not a little smack on the back of the knee. Nothing. I wouldn't do it. In a million years. And as for the future Mrs. Allen, no chance. You never met a softer, gentler, quieter, mild-mannered woman. No chance. I know some of you who have children will say you're a liar, Richie. Or not a liar, but Richie, it's easy to say. I'm telling you, no chance. Am I being judgmental? No, I'm not. I don't know what to think of this. This is the same country, by the way, that wants to introduce a named person bill into law to protect the children of the country, to provide for every child in Scotland a named guardian in the community. Not a parent, not a grandparent, but a teacher or a policeman or a nurse or a bank official. To keep an eye out for the well-being of the child. I mean, it's very Orwellian in its undertones, overtones, right? So, my question about this is, are there degrees of smacking? Have they taken into account what constitutes a smack? I got punched in the face. I said I wasn't going to go, I don't want to go into it. I got kicked. I got thrown against walls by him. And worse than that. Far worse than that. That's a different thing entirely. I got a shoe thrown at me by my mother on occasion and a slap around the back of the head on occasion. But I wouldn't have thought that was assault or it was in any way criminal. Or that she should have been asked by a magistrate or a policeman or woman to answer to that. I would have said. You're justifying smacking. I'm not. I'm just saying. It wasn't abuse. That wasn't abuse, I wouldn't have thought. What do you think about this? Members of the Scottish Parliament expected to give their final approval to a bill that would remove this defence from law and legally sanction assault of children in Scotland. An end, legally sanctioned. And just 2 weeks ago, the Welsh Assembly voted to back the principle of ending reasonable punishment as a defence for assaulting children. Seems baffling to children living in England and Northern Ireland cannot expect the same level of protection. This change in law will have no impact on the way that police investigate cases of adults accused of assaulting a child. However, if today's bill is passed, then anyone charged with this crime in Scotland will no longer be able to defend themselves by claiming they were carrying out a justifiable assault. What do you think? They're saying that scientific evidence shows that children who are smacked maybe are more likely to go on to be violent or aggressive or have problems with depression and anxiety when they get older. Is that true? I was smacked. I don't have antisocial behaviour problems. I don't have any problems with aggression. When I feel aggressive or angry, which isn't very often, I just go for a run. I run the fucking bejesus out of myself. And then I don't have any anger. What do you think? The NSPCC... is delighted about this and they want to promote positive parenting techniques. See, this is where this is where I have a problem with it and where it might be heading. You know, we're talking about state encroachment into every aspect of your life, into every aspect of your daily lives, what you do from the moment you get up in the morning to the moment you go to bed. And that's where I have a problem with it. You know, I remember having a discussion about this on commercial radio years ago and older parents ringing up saying it wouldn't have been a regular thing for my child to get a smack, but I remember smacking them on the arse when they did something that could have put themselves in danger, like, you know, running out on the road, for example. You know? Trying to associate a sense of outrage in the child and a sense of embarrassment at getting smacked with
the road is dangerous. I shouldn't run out into the road, kind of a thing. So I don't know. It's very interesting. They're calling for it to be introduced here as well. What do you think? What do you think? Any takers? Graham from Trigger Warning says, saying that I have given her good cracks around the arse, but it's all in good fun. All right, I've missed the first bit of that, have I? Have I, Graham? Graham's got a young daughter, you see. Graham says, I don't hit my kid, but oh my, have I wanted to. Jumping right on my balls at 3 o'clock in the morning, then screaming wake up right in my ear. That'll do it. Graham doesn't hit his child. Sharon says, kids will soon be calling the police on their parents, you see. That's the leap I should have made a second ago, but I am tired. Yes, that's right. That is a plausible scenario. Mad. Shield Destroyer says, my dad would slap me on the back of the legs as I ran upstairs. I'd laugh, and sooner enough, he would start laughing as well. Kelly says, I used to get the leather slipper across my arse. My butt, says Kelly, didn't do me any harm, says Kelly. Who says, shouting at kids does nothing except drain your own energy. Yeah. Chris says, when I was 5 years old, I'd rather have been smacked on the arse than running out into the road and getting knocked over. Peter says, this is another excuse for the government to come and seize your children. For as we know, the state doesn't give a shit about the children, says Peter. I've had to unhide that, Peter, because of the very mild language. Thank you for that comment. It's a good comment, I think. New and exotic ways to justify removing a child from its rightful parents, maybe. Thousands of children are taken a year in the UK. Just speak to Sharon Gale for nothing, for no good reason. Some children are removed from homes for good reason, let's be honest about it. You know? Interesting. What about, talked about this last night, didn't I? On the radio show, it's very interesting. Jean Anne Crowley, the actress extraordinaire, is very interested in this. Bunch of young students demanded that the Royal Shakespeare Company, which is in Stratford-upon-Avon, Jean Anne knows all about it. The students demanded that the Royal Shakespeare Company disavow itself of BP, British Petroleum, which is very instrumental in overthrowing Mohammad Mossadegh in Iran back in 1953. But not the people who work at BP now, of course. But anyway. Now, RSC, I love a bit of Shakespeare, me. I studied King Lear and Hamlet and Julius Caesar during my secondary school days. And of course, at third level, I had to read a lot more than King Lear, Julius Caesar and Hamlet. But I loved King Lear and Hamlet, particularly King Lear. Isn't Succession with Brian Cox? You can trace everything back to Shakespeare, can't you? Everything, every drama, everything that's on television, every serial drama, go back to Shakespeare. Succession with Brian Cox, very good show that. Bit soap opera-ish, bit glossy, bit dynasty-esque. Brian Cox is brilliant in it. Salford, Brian Cox, Salford. Oh, Christ. So for about 7 years, RSC was able to sell tickets to students for a fiver to see brilliant actresses and actors tread the boards in some of the great plays in history. Because basically what BP did was it subsidised this. Bunch of snowflakes got together and said, the environment. And rather than tell them to go and take a running jump, the RSC acquiesced, appeased them and said, well, we'll have to sever our links with BP. What really annoys me about that is, see, this is not just yesterday's news. The Times have investigated this further. And overnight, they have gotten the RSC to acknowledge that the subsidised tickets now is, well, it's a thing of the past. The RSC is saying that they may not be able to continue the subsidised ticket scheme to give young men and women
And listen, I'm no crusader here. I'm no virtue signaller, but I am a man who loves the theatre. Love it. Love it. Been lucky enough over the years. And let me tell you something. When I was in my early teens, mid-teens, late teens even, there was no money in my house. None. There was my mother and me, my brother and sister, and there wasn't any money. After Waterford Crystal collapsed, after my parents eventually separated, after she saw sense, there was no money for anything. But a couple of local charities were brilliant and used to do deals with the Red Kettle Theatre Company and Garter Lane Theatre in Waterford City, and used to get complimentary tickets and very cheap tickets so that Muppets like me could go and see plays. Thank God they did. You name the successful plays by English and Irish playwrights in the last 15, 20 years, I was able to go and see them because... and I'm sure that there were some companies or corporations involved through some benevolent fund or something. And maybe some of those corporations maybe didn't or don't have great records on the environment or whatever. But fuck that, you know. The students could have gotten involved in a dialogue with the people at BP. But no. This is the new world now. You scream about something you don't like and you feel to be wrong. You declare yourself to be woke. You scream and wail and keen and roar and bawl and say this is outrageous, and you get your own way. You get your own way. What's it teaching children and kids coming up, coming through? What's it teaching them? The RSC should have said, fuck off, you know. We'll boycott the theatre. Fair enough. We're the RSC, dear boy. We're not going to struggle to fill the fucking auditoriums just because you bedwetting types decide that you're pissed off that we have a deal with British Petroleum. This is crazy shit. It really is. And well done to the Times for calling it out this morning, which says it will intensify the strain on cultural institutions that are grappling with cuts in their state funding of up to 30% over the past decade. Again, agenda, agenda, agenda. Why would governments cut grants to cultural institutions like the RSC, which are vital? They are vital to the health of a society, to the mood, to the mental well-being of a society. Theatre, the arts, is vital. Why would you cut it? Again, we know the answer. So they're getting cut anyway, and now snowflakes are demanding that they cut ties with various companies and corporations because we don't like them. Mad times. Mad times. This is even madder. Driverless taxis are already in use in London. Where are the men and women who drive taxis for a living? Where are they? Why aren't you marching en masse? We'll fucking march with you. Why aren't you screaming from the rooftops? What the fuck is going on? And again, the implications for this go beyond the rendering unemployed of thousands and thousands of drivers in the country who drive for a living. It goes beyond that. Of course, it has implications for your freedom of movement, but also for your freedom and your right to move without being fucking spied on 24/7. They're already on the streets. Already. They're not being used, I don't think. I'm not sure they're carrying passengers. Not quite yet. But they're out there, driving. Trialing. It's marvellous for the environment. There's not a single good thing about it. Driverless fucking cars. Is there? Nothing. They've even said today the transport department... Marvellous, we'll get everybody out of cars. They'll all be driverless. They'll be electric. And then we can increase the speed limit to 80 miles an hour. Lovely. Hundreds of thousands of people out of work in the long run. Brilliant. Fucking hell. What else is there? Not a lot else, really. I don't want to dwell too much on it. They've charged Bernardo Silva, who's on the right there. And the gentleman on the left is Benjamin Mendy. They're teammates. You know the story by now. Bernardo Silva compared a young Benjamin of looking like the character on the packet of Conguitos. Caroline can't believe that I can't remember Conguitos. We lived in Spain for 9 years, and Caroline's got a sweet tooth. She eats everything, and she's a waif. Pisses me off. Any chocolate you can think of. Skittles, loves it. Loves sweets, Caroline. Big child, right? And she says, I can't believe you don't remember Conguitos, Richie. I don't remember, because I don't eat sweets. Very, very rarely. And if I have the occasional bit of chocolate, it's a bit of dark chocolate, you know, a bit of lint. Yes, a bit of dark chocolate. Dark chocolate orange, yes. But I don't eat sweets. So he's Portuguese. Finally, I've gotten that one straight, is Bernardo. This is his best pal, by the way. Like, genuinely. He tweeted him a picture, and it was all a bit of a giggle. But when people said to him on Twitter, oh, that's racist, he was horrified and said, no, I can't believe it. That people would see that. That's pretty ugly. But he deleted the tweet. It's been going on for a while, this. And yesterday, all our troubles seemed so far away. Well, his might have seemed far away, but they've only just begun. See, I've segued from the Beatles into the Carpenters there. Beautiful little segue there. We've only just begun, or they've only just begun for him, because he's going to be charged, and he's going to lose, and he's going to be banned for 6 games. And he will have attached to his name forevermore the reality. Forevermore now attached to his name will be the fact that he was found in breach of Football Association guidelines on racism, even though he's not a racist. It's quite amazing, isn't it? The player, Benjamin Mendy, said it's not racism. It's just me mate taking the piss out of me. But I tell you, before I say goodbye to you this morning, this is how crazy this is getting. I alluded to this yesterday. This is Oliver Holt, a white middle-aged, I'm white and middle-aged, nothing wrong with being white and middle-aged, a white middle-aged sports journalist. He's very well known as Oliver Holt. He's been writing about soccer and other sports for many, many, many years. This is how crazy this is getting. John Barnes. Oh, I used to hate John Barnes when I was a kid. Not because he was black, because he was good. Played for Liverpool, fantastic player. Won everything with Liverpool, scored a goal in Brazil in 1984 at the Maracana Stadium, which is one of the all-time great goals. Marvellous player, great balance, great left foot, John Barnes. Oh. Watford, and then Liverpool bought him. And John has been a fairly regular commentator on matters of racism in recent years. And when he played John, I mean, let's be honest about it, he was subjected to fairly fucking horrendous racist abuse. He was. You know, no snowflakery there. He was subjected to horrendous abuse. People throwing bananas at him. People bringing effigies of nooses to games. I mean, dreadful shit now. Even being booed by England fans when he was playing for England. So he had to put up with it, John. He ignored it and just carried on being a brilliant football player into his mid to late 30s. Anyway, so why are we talking about John? Well, John Barnes, who is not slow to point at something that he thinks might be racist, but he's also not a snowflake now, in his defence. John Barnes said over the weekend, this wouldn't be racism. They're pals. It's rib tickling. It's Mickey taking. So now you have the scenario where a white guy can tell a black guy, you're wrong. You have a white guy now telling a black guy what he should feel about racism. Now, don't call me a hypocrite. Do not call me a hypocrite, because while yes, I have disagreed with black men in the past about what is racism, I have never told them what to think about it. And I've always pointed out, look, I'm not black, ultimately. Right? So I have to concede that. But I've never said what they should think about it. I've said that could be called racism, and maybe that couldn't be called racism. What I wouldn't do is tell people what to think about it. But Oliver Holt here in the Mail on Sunday from 3 days ago, telling John Barnes what to think about Benjamin Mendy. Because when Oliver Holt saw this image, it made him feel uncomfortable. This white man was uncomfortable. When he saw the tweet, he was uncomfortable. Do we really believe he was uncomfortable? Really? No. He's just afflicted by virtue signal sickness. Couldn't fucking wait to signal to the tribe, I am virtuous. I disagree with this. It made me uncomfortable. When I saw that image, it didn't make me feel anything. Didn't make me feel uncomfortable. It didn't make me feel comfortable. I looked at it and went, all right. That's the image. There's a young Benjamin, and there's the Conguitos character. John Barnes says, just a bit of banter. You have to look at the context. Is Bernardo trying to humiliate, denigrate, mock his teammate? No, he's not. He's just taking the piss out of him. Right. But now you have the spectre of journalists telling people like John Barnes, not that they disagree with him, which is one thing, but telling him what he should think about it. Because what he thinks about it is in danger of trashing his reputation. These are scary times, folks. They really are. I'm not exaggerating. This is no joke. Where we're going with all of this. And this poor guy now, who's not poor, he's a fantastic player, it pains me to admit. Both of them are, but Bernardo Silva, the guy who's supposed to be racist, well, you know, he's a multimillionaire footballer. But why should he have attached to his name forevermore that he is guilty of inciting racism or racial hatred because he took the piss out of his best friend? But that's the reality now, isn't it? And if it can happen to a multimillionaire football player, it's going to happen to you. Or happened to me sooner. It's happening to me all the time in the national press. The Board of Deputies of British Jews telling people they should not come on the Richie Allen Show because of the guests that have come on the Richie Allen Show in the past. Richie is racist. Richie is anti-Semitic. Therefore, you shouldn't be on there, according to the Board of Deputies of British Jews. I couldn't give a fuck. But that's where we are. Imagine. Yeah, but I do remember him debating these people. Doesn't matter. He must be fucking racist. Because he had them on. How I see the world couldn't be further from how David Duke sees the world. Right? I think you know that, right? I don't see myself as a better person than David Duke because David is racist. He is racist, by the way, David Duke. But like I said, I don't want to exile him. I don't want to cut him off at the knees. I don't want him to have to wear a millstone around his neck, you know, saying that we should all hate him for the rest of his life. No, we have to be more intellectual. We have to be of a higher thinking than that. But he's a racist. Fair enough. But it doesn't mean I shouldn't talk to him. And it doesn't mean that because I spoke to him that I'm fucking racist. Anywho. Right. No idea what's going to happen today on the radio show. No clue. Not a Scooby-Doo. I want to thank Richard Willett, Brick in the Wall Media, for making Extreme Danger, Extreme Hypnosis. Because it's a brilliant film. And it's introduced me to some people that will be coming on the Richie Allen Show real soon. One of them being Dr. Robin Kelly in New Zealand, whom I've invited on the programme. I've been reading all about him. I knew nothing about him till I came across Richard Willett and Brick in the Wall Media. And I'm glad I did. And Robin Kelly in New Zealand is a doctor. He's a GP. What a profoundly interesting man he is. And he'll be on the Richie Allen Show next Monday, this coming Monday. It'll be 6 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday, New Zealand time. But he's agreed to come on. Very nice man. And you're going to really enjoy listening to him. So I'm looking forward to that. So, yeah. It's great to see great documentaries and sit there and take notes. Oh, never heard of him. Let's get him on the Richie Allen Show. That's how production works, dear listener, dear viewer. Right, that's it for me today. This morning, I mean, I'll talk to you later on. I don't know what's going to happen later on because it's been a difficult week production-wise because there's been so much going on. I've had stuff going on in the house here. Guy came to do a bit of damp proofing yesterday and he proved that there is some damp. There isn't, actually. There's a tiny bit behind one of the walls in the kitchen, but it's going to be dealt with very quickly. And I'm struggling with inspiration this week. I really am. It's not been a bad week, but... So I don't know what's going to be on. I won't do a phone-in. There will be a phone-in next Thursday, every second Thursday. So I won't do a phone-in tonight. But I'll do something. I'll do something. I'll be on with you. I'll be there. I'll be there for you when the rain starts to fall, because it's fucking pissing down again in Salford by the looks of it. Right, I will catch up with you at 5. Until then, be offended. Be very, very offended.